الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم On one occasion, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anh and a broader group of companions were all sitting together when Abu Sufyan passed by. And when he passed by, some of the companions made the following statement. They said something to the effect that the swords of Allah did not take their due. The swords of Allah did not take their due. What was intended by this statement was, we should have dealt with you more harshly. And the reason that this statement, or the timing of this statement is important, this statement was made after the conquest of Mecca. So again, putting everything in perspective, after the conquest of Mecca, Abu Sufyan, prior to conversion, is passing by, and a group of companions makes a statement to him that the swords of Allah did not exact their due, meaning the swords of Allah did not take full retribution for what they should have taken retribution for. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sitting there, and he said to them, he was sitting in their group, in the group amongst them, and he turned to them and he said, "How can you speak like this to the leader of the Quraysh?" To something to this effect, like, how can you speak to them? How can you speak like this to the leader of the Quraysh? How dare you speak like this to the leader of the Quraysh? He then went and he related the incident to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned something to the effect that he's speaking to Abu Bakr, your statement may have angered them. Your statement may have angered them. Meaning the comment that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anh made may have angered those group of other companions that made the statement. And if that statement angered them, it would also anger Allah. Meaning, if a statement that you made angers another group of Muslims, that also angers Allah. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he heard this, he obviously became very disturbed, because he became concerned that now there's a possibility that Allah may be angry with me. So he subsequently went to those companions, and he said to them that, "I'm sorry if I did anything wrong. I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm sorry if I did anything wrong. I'm sorry if I offended you." And those companions said, no, you didn't do anything wrong. Now, this is a very, very, rough relation of what happened on that incident, but you get the general principle, which is that we have to be extremely careful in the way in which we deal with one another. Because there is a very real risk that by not dealing with one another well, we could potentially anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A couple of weeks back, we spoke in detail about this whole notion of holding grudges. And we talked about how important it is to let go of grudges and how important it is to clear our hearts every night before we go to bed. And we talked about the famous incident in which the companion was labeled as one who would be going to Jannah. And when the Sahaba subsequently studied, in particular one companion subsequently studied to try to see what was unique about that individual and why they were going to be someone of Jannah, the only thing that they came up with in the end was that this individual, based on his own statement, was someone who would forgive anyone each day before he would go to bed. One of the important things, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, this is a very essential principle of suluk. There's two parts of suluk. One part of suluk is to sit and do your routine. And I know that that's something that we emphasize, and I know that's something that everyone tries to maintain. But we have to remember as well that the greater part of suluk is to understand those things that we need to avoid and to make a effort to avoid those things. To recognize the things that we need to purify our hearts of and to actually purify our hearts from those things. That's actually the more difficult thing to do. In fact, I would say it this way. All of the energy that's built up through dhikr, all of the energy, the motivation, the excitement that arises when a person does dhikr, the purpose of that is to effectuate a change in ourselves. It's like the thing that you study in physics and in any physics class, potential and kinetic energy. Potential energy is the energy that's stored in something. Kinetic energy is when you take that stored energy and actually convert it into movement. So for example, if you take a child and you grab, well, they're sitting on a swing, and you grab that child and you hold them up, before you release them, they are now loaded with potential energy. When you let them go, that potential energy gets converted into kinetic energy and they start moving. So there's two. This example applies very well in the spiritual realm. Dhikr is a method by which we gain potential energy. But it has to be converted into kinetic energy. And the kinetic energy is the change that actually we make within ourselves that allows our character to improve, that allows us to purify ourselves from the things that shouldn't be in our heart, that allows us to avoid the circumstances that will create more difficulty for us in the final day. That's the sign that a person is actually moving. Dhikr is the first step. Dhikr is not the last step. Everybody says, well, I want to move to the next lesson. I want to get to this lesson. I want to be on that lesson. I want to get this far. The sign that a person is progressing is not that they come to you with a laundry list of the different adhkar that they've done. The sign that the person is progressing is that the person then begins to make a change in their life, that they take the potential energy of dhikr and the remembrance of Allah and ibadah, and they convert that into something kinetic. They move from the place that they were to the place that they should be. Meaning they move from the character that they were to the character that they should attain. That's the goal of this path. That's the sign that a person is achieving something along this path. By the way, it's a sign of any act of worship. You know, if we're praying and nothing changes, then there's probably some problem with it. There's probably some deficiency in our prayer. This was the end point for the companions. When you look at the lives of the companions, you see that they were at point A and they went to point B. And then that was what made them such exemplary models of deen. What makes them exemplary models of deen is not that they sat for X number of minutes in the dhikr or they did X amount of dhikr every day. What makes them exemplary is the effect that it had upon their character, the effect that it had upon their relationships, the effect that it had upon their mannerisms, the effect that it had upon their life in this world, and how they would subsequently change the direction from seeking this world to seeking the hereafter. That's the sign that the individual is progressing on the path of suluk. And that is something that all of us need to be very appreciative of, because that's how we know that we are progressing, which everybody wants to know. How do I know if I'm progressing? Look at these companions, okay? This narration that, you know, we started with. Look at the state of these companions. First, one companion is told by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there is a possibility that they may have angered Allah because of the way in which they dealt with others. Now, what could the response have been? The response could have been, but let me explain to you what I was thinking and why that was not a good statement, or the way in which that they said the statement. There was no discussion. There was no discussion. Complete submission. Now, the next step, once a person accepts it, to go from accepting something to actually doing something is a huge amount of energy that's required. There's a huge amount of potential energy that's required in order to go from one part of the equation to the other. It's like chemistry. You know, you have to cross over the energy that's required in order to get to the other point, and to make the reaction move in the direction that you want the reaction to occur. It is not easy. Every day we hear things that we accept. Every day we all of us in this room hear things that we accept. We accept that we should, our financial transactions should be pure. We accept that we shouldn't hold grudges. We accept that we shouldn't backbite. But how many of us have the ability to take that acceptance that's in our hearts and to actually convert it and effectuate it into some sort of change in our lives? That is a very, very difficult thing to do. Yet the companions had achieved that. They had built up enough potential energy through their acts of ibadah that when it came time to convert into something that resulted in a change in themselves, they were able to do it immediately. So what happens? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu hears that there's a possibility that he may have angered someone. And because there's a possibility that he may have angered a Muslim, it may potentially lead to anger from Allah. It's over. Boom. What does he do? He gets up and he apologizes. He doesn't. He's Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He's better than anybody except the prophets. And what does he do? He doesn't think at all of himself that how can I apologize to them? Why should I apologize to them? No. He immediately puts his head down and walks back to them and apologizes to them and says, I'm sorry if I offended you. How many of us have the ability to do that? Now, what did the other companions do? Now, if it was us and we were on the other side of the equation, then we would say, yes, it was really bad what you said, and I'm glad that you finally figured it out. We were just talking about how you need to figure things out. No. They had already let it go. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is already highlighting to them that there's a possibility of a problem in this transaction, right? They have all the right in the world to say, what you did was unacceptable. What you did, you know, we were just talking about it. We can't believe you did it. You're Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. How could that happen? No. They had already let it go. They had already let it go. They didn't even let it create a little dent. So the moment he says, I'm sorry if I offended you. No, brother, you didn't offend us. No, brother, you did not offend us. Why? Because they also had that potential energy. And they knew. They also knew. They're coming from the same stock. They also knew that it's not worth it to hold a grudge. It's not worth it to ruminate over the past and to think about what may or may not have occurred. Let it go. They swept it away even before it, just the moment it happened, they let it go. Why? Because they had the potential energy to be able to convert into the kinetic energy of just wiping things away and not letting it bother them. If it's us, oh, my pride was insulted. I was insulted. You said this in front of another person. Everybody thinks less of me. I can't believe you spoke like this. This and that. We have 500 excuses for why we should feel the way we feel. But people of piety, people of deen, people of suluk, people of dhikr, they let things go. Even before it has the chance to drill a hole in our hearts, they let things go. We have to recognize, as I mentioned, 2 weeks ago, and if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, you can go back and listen to the recording, how important it is for us to never hold a grudge. But you have to remember, it's not, like we say, you don't, every fire starts with a spark. Every fire starts with a spark. What does that mean? It means that if there's a fire, then it's not that, what could I do to put out the fire? The question is, how do I avoid the spark? So if we come to the conclusion in our minds, or we come to the realization in our hearts, that we have to let this go. We cannot afford to ever hold a grudge against anybody in our heart. It's not worth it. It closes the gate of Jannah upon us. We spoke about this a couple weeks ago. It closes the gate of Jannah upon us. So what does that mean? That doesn't mean that we can just become Superman and say, I'm no longer going to have any grudge. It doesn't work that way. What we have to recognize is we have to go back. We have to say, how do grudges happen? How can a grudge develop? How does a grudge take root? It's easy to rip out a weed. It's hard to rip out a tree. Once a person has a grudge in their heart, this person treated me this way, and that person did this to me, and these people did this to me, and my parents did that to me, my husband said this to me, my wife treated me this way. Once that gets embedded in the heart, it's very hard to rip out. It becomes a tree, it becomes deep-rooted, and it lasts for decades. It lasts for decades. The time to rip it out and to wipe it away is at the very initial stage, when it's a tiny, tiny little weed. Then you can simply grab it, pull it, and throw it away and let it go. So we have to go back in the past and we have to dig out those trees. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, but we have to also recognize that it's not worth letting any weed take root. What does it mean? It means that we recognize that we never, ever want to hold a grudge against anyone because it's an easy way to get to Jannah. It's a relatively easy way. Again, it's hard to not hold grudges, but it's a quick and easy way. And so how do we avoid that? We don't avoid that by letting the grudge occur and then trying to forgive it later or try to remove it magically from our hearts later. We start at the point where the grudge arises. Number one, we never ever say anything that could potentially hurt anyone. We're very particular about what we say and how we say it. When you buy a piece of glass, something that's made of glass, it's always written on the box, fragile, handle with care. Fragile, handle with care. When we deal with a Muslim, we know that their hearts are fragile. We have to handle them with care. Because if we break the heart of another person, we potentially create a circumstance that will be very difficult upon us. We handle every person's heart with care. So, we don't even speak. I mean, honestly, listen, if it says fragile, handle with care, it doesn't mean that you dance on both feet instead of one foot. Right? Handle fragile with care doesn't mean that, okay, I was going to dance up and down on one foot. Let me dance on 2 feet, so I'm handling this with care. Fragile, handle with care means you don't even dance. You tiptoe. you very carefully, first of all, you don't even move it, because if you move it, you could break it. But if you have to move it, then you very carefully and slowly move it to make sure that it doesn't get jolted in even the slightest way. We're the exact same way. When we deal with others, there's a potential to other people's hearts are very fragile. There's always a potential to damage their hearts. So we don't even speak unless absolutely necessary. And if we have to speak, we think, should I say it? We think again, should I say it? We take time, should I say it? And only after we've determined that it's something good do we actually say it. That's the first step to avoid a grudge. The second step to avoid a grudge is to always let everything go. At the moment that it occurs, if we sense that it bothers us, the moment something happens that, you know, let's say hits a raw nerve, then we say, Ya Allah, I want to be like the companion who used to forgive everyone each evening. Give me the tawfiq and ability to let this go. Instead, grant me you and your pleasure and your Jannah. So we wipe it away and we let it go. And even if it bothers us, we say, it's not worth it. It doesn't matter. Allah will always give me more. Allah will always give me better. It doesn't matter. Let it go. And those are the initial steps to be able to avoid a grudge. Number one, be very careful about what we say, because we could hurt others. And if we hurt others, that could then lead to conflict with others. And that's how one way by which grudges arise. And number two is, if anyone ever says anything to us that in any way, shape, or form could potentially hurt us, we absolutely let it go, recognizing that it's much better to let these things go in this life because the reward is so much greater in the hereafter. It's not worth it. These are the first two initial steps. And like I said, every fire begins with a spark. You want the end to be good, it always has to start with a good beginning. Otherwise, it's impossible to avoid grudges. We always put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen ahead of anything else any other feelings that we might have. The third is we should always be ready to apologize. We should always assume that we're at fault, and we should be ready to apologize if in any way, shape, or form we may have hurt someone. That's like step two. You know, step one, speak little. Be careful. Step two, if anybody speaks to us, wipe it away. Step three, if in any way, shape, or form we do say something that could potentially hurt someone, and we know that it could potentially hurt them, we don't need to think about whether it was justified or not justified and I should have said it and it needed to be said and they needed to hear it. It doesn't matter. We just drop the whole thing and we apologize. It doesn't matter if they were younger than us. It doesn't matter if they're less educated than us. It doesn't matter if they have less status than us. Because in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at any of those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at hearts. And we do not want to be amongst those people that break hearts. These are a few basic principles that we have to keep in mind in order to be able to avoid grudges. And these are just as important as our dhikr. Now, I'm not saying that dhikr isn't important, but dhikr is that potential energy that we have to then convert into the kinetics of changing our character. So we spend it once in a while. It's like economics. You have $20 in your pocket. You have a potential to buy something. If you just pile up all the money in your pocket, but you never purchase anything, you're not going to feel the benefit of that money. So when we spend time in dhikr, spend time in ibadah, get energized towards deen, happen to pray in the masjid in jama'ah, we gain something. We use that and we spend it to buy something better. So we take that excitement, that energy, we ask ourselves, Ya Allah, what is the, grant me the wisdom to be able to see that which I need to change. And then we take the energy that we generate from the gathering, from the community, from the recitation, from our routine, and we convert that into some sort of change. That's the sign that we're progressing on this path. Very, very difficult to let go of grudges. Very difficult to clear one's heart of any possibility of having any grudge against anyone every evening. It seems like a very simple thing, but like I said, it's a very hard thing. It's much easier to wake up in the middle of the night and pray than it is to let go of grudges. And everybody has these grudges. I don't even need to ask, you know, any person in the room, do you have grudges? Everybody has these grudges. It's a, you know, it's a, the nature of human interaction. There's always a friction. And that friction generates these types of interactions, and that grudges arise as a consequence of that. So it's an opportunity for everybody. It's not that there's some people in the room that say, I don't have any grudges and I'm living the perfect life. Everybody has these. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to be able to enter into Jannah relatively easily. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to be among those who are able to avoid ever hurting the heart of another Muslim. And may He make us among those who are able to let go of any grudge. وَآخُرَ الدَّعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ